Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Today we're diving into a really complex and often misunderstood conflict, the Spanish Civil War, you know, that incredibly brutal period from 1936 to 1939.
Absolutely. And we're going to explore it through the lens of Helen Graham's work. She's, well, one of the top historians on this. And her book, The Spanish Civil War, really challenges the typical view.
Right. The view that it was just like a practice run for World War II.
Exactly. Graham argues it was much more than that. Yes, it was a testing ground for modern warfare and politics, for sure. But she really insists it was, at its heart, a deeply Spanish conflict.
Okay, so our mission today is to unpack what she means by that. If it wasn't just one thing, what was it? She calls it a war of many wars, which suggests layers of complexity, right? Trying to get past those, you know, simple headlines.
Definitely. And Professor Graham is, well, she's the perfect person to guide us. Professor of Spanish History at Royal Holloway, University of London. She spent, what, over 30 years digging into Spanish archives, stuff other historians maybe didn't get to.
So what makes her take on it so different? Why should we really lean in here?
Well, she specifically avoids focusing only on the big names, the generals, the politicians, the diplomatic deals. Her work is more like history from below, as historians sometimes say.
History from below, meaning?
Meaning she looks at the lived experiences of ordinary people, workers, peasants out in the countryside, and crucially, the role women played. She gives social history just as much weight as the political stuff.
Ah, so it's about hearing those voices that maybe got drowned out. Especially by, you know, the Franco regime later on, and even in how the world saw it.
Precisely. It brings a really human dimension to it all. These weren't just abstract forces. There were people caught up in this whirlwind.
Okay, so let's get into the book itself. It covers the whole timeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the hopeful start of the Second Republic in 31 all the way to the end in 39.
It does. But what's really interesting is where she starts the explanation. Not in the 1930s, but way back in the 19th century.
Oh, okay. Why?
Her core argument is that the Civil War wasn't just a sudden explosion. It was the violent result of decades, maybe even a century, of unresolved problems in Spanish society. The real issue, she says, was Spain's failure to modernize politically, to build a stable, inclusive democracy that could actually handle all the competing interests.
So it's like the foundations were shaky long before the house collapsed.
Exactly. And because those foundations were so fractured, when the conflict did break out, it wasn't just one war. It shattered into several conflicts all happening at once. That's her war of many wars idea.
That makes sense. It stops you looking for just one simple cause or villain.
Right. You have to see all the different fights colliding. It was definitely a class war. You had landless farm workers and industrial laborers against the big landowners and factory owners.
And it was a huge cultural war, too. Secular modernizers wanting to, you know, separate church and state against this really powerful traditionalist Catholic establishment that saw any change as a threat.
And the politics of Spain itself. The question of central government versus regional power, like in Catalonia and the Basque Country.
That too. A war over what Spain should even look like. And then on top of all that purely Spanish stuff, you get the international layer.
Mm-hmm.
Fascism, communism, democracies kind of dithering, all using Spain as a testing ground.
Wow. So it sounds like if you joined the fight, you couldn't just pick one issue. You were thrown into all of them.
That's the tragedy of it. And Graham shows how things spiraled. Back in 1931, there was real hope with the Second Republic, but attempts at reform, land reform, education, reducing the church's political power, they immediately created huge pushback.
From who? The usual suspects.
Pretty much. The church, the big landowners, and crucially, the army. They didn't see these changes as progress. They saw them as an attack on the very soul of true Spain. And things got radicalized fast. How did it go from democratic reforms to, well, total war?
Graham points to the years 33 to 36 as the critical period. A major flashpoint was that miners' uprising in Asturias in 1934.
Yes, I've read about that.
It was brutally put down by the army, and guess who was leading that operation? General Franco. That suppression, Graham says, was like a dress rehearsal for the Civil War. It just hardened everyone's positions. Compromise felt impossible after that.
So the 1936 coup wasn't out of the blue. It was the end point of these deepening cracks, especially when the center couldn't hold things together and when the left-wing Popular Front won the election that year.
The right-wing forces, the military, the conservatives, they just wouldn't accept it. They launched the coup they'd been planning.
But it didn't go according to plan, did it?
No, that's the key twist. The coup failed in major cities like Madrid and Barcelona. Why? Because workers' groups and parts of the military loyal to the Republic resisted fiercely.
And that failure turned a quick power grab into...
Yeah, a long, drawn-out, bloody civil war. Spain literally split in two overnight. And the two zones that emerged were completely different beasts.
Okay, let's compare them. The nationalist side, Franco side.
Yeah.
How did that shape up?
Well, Graham points out Franco was actually very politically savvy. He wasn't just a soldier. Oh. He moved quickly to unify his side, sideline potential rivals like Primo de Rivera, the Falangist leader, and made sure it was his project. A counter-revolution focused on restoring traditional Catholic Spain. Very disciplined, very ruthless.
And the Republican side.
Chaos, basically. At least initially. The central government kind of collapsed, power fragmented among all these different groups, anarchists, socialists, communists, who often disagreed violently.
You had a social revolution happening during the war.
Yeah.
Collectivizing land and factories.
Yes, especially in areas like Catalonia and Aragon. But that created huge internal divisions. It became this massive argument. Should we focus on the social revolution right now, or do we put everything into winning the war first?
That sounds fatal. The civil war within the civil war, she talks about.
Exactly. It reached a boiling point during the May Days in Barcelona in 1937, actual street fighting between different Republican factions. It massively weakened their ability to fight Franco.
And while all this internal fighting was going on, what about the rest of the world? Graham is pretty critical of the international response, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely. She doesn't mince words about the non-intervention agreement, mainly pushed by Britain and France. She calls it disastrous and hypocritical.
Why hypocritical?
Because in reality, it wasn't non-intervention at all. It acted like a blockade against the legitimate elected Republican government, stopping them from buying weapons they desperately needed.
But it didn't stop aid flowing to Franco.
Not at all. Yeah. Germany sent its Condor Legion bombers, planes, tanks, and Italy sent tens of thousands of troops. They poured in weapons and support for Franco, using Spain to test out their military tactics for the bigger war they knew was coming.
So, a total mismatch. The Republic was basically strangled by democratic inaction while the nationalists were actively armed by fascist powers.
A terrible asymmetry. And Graham shows this asymmetry extended to the violence itself. She makes a crucial distinction between the Red Terror and the White Terror.
Okay, explain that.
The Red Terror, the violence in the Republican zone against suspected enemies like priests or landowners, was horrific, yes. But Graham argues it was often chaotic, done by uncontrolled militias early on, and the Republican government actually tried later to regain control and stop it.
Right. And the White Terror, Franco's side.
That, she argues, was completely different. It wasn't just random killing or battlefield anger.
So not just a byproduct of war.
No. Graham frames it as systematic, calculated, state-sanctioned violence. A deliberate policy of cleansing, limpieza was the Spanish word they used.
Cleansing meaning?
Meaning the physical elimination of political opponents, trade unionists, intellectuals, anyone associated with the Republic. It was essential to Franco's political project, not just to win the war, but to terrorize the population into submission for the long haul, to destroy any possibility of future opposition.
Wow. That's chilling. It makes the eventual defeat seem almost inevitable, not just militarily, but politically and socially, too.
It really does. The internal divisions on the Republican side, the arms embargo, and this systematic terror from the nationalists, it was a brutal combination.
Okay, let's step back and pull out some of the big themes from Graham's analysis that still resonate. Theme one seems to be that failure of political modernization.
Yeah, the inability of Spain's institutions to manage deep social and regional conflicts peacefully. When politics fails, violence fills the vacuum. It's a stark reminder.
And theme two feels incredibly relevant right now. Democratic fragility.
Absolutely. Graham shows what happens when political disagreements stop being about negotiative things like policy details and come existential fights over identity. Who represents the real Spain? When it gets to that point where the other side is seen as an existential threat, democracy just breaks down.
That's a serious warning for today, isn't it? When political opponents are framed as enemies of the nation itself.
It really is. Then theme three, the social and gender dimension. It wasn't just about territory. It was a fight over culture, over how people should live. And women's roles changed dramatically during the war, reflecting that clash between traditionalism and modernity.
Right. And the last theme, memory.
Yeah, theme four, memory and historical interpretation. The war didn't end cleanly in 39. Franco's regime spent the next 40 years controlling the narrative, suppressing memory. And even after Franco died, that pact of forgetting, it shows how hard it is for a country to honestly face a traumatic past. You need that truth to build a genuinely inclusive future.
Graham really has a way of crystallizing these complex ideas. You mentioned some notable quotes earlier.
Yes, there are a few lines that really capture her argument. The first one sums up the core complexity. The Spanish Civil War was not one single war, but a kaleidoscope of interlocking conflicts, each with its own history and its own protagonists.
That just forces you to abandon any simple explanation, doesn't it?
Completely. And then there's the one about the nationalist violence. The violence of the nationalist rebels was not an unfortunate byproduct of war, but a central and indispensable element of their political project, the systematic cleansing of Spain.
That reframes the violence entirely. It wasn't just brutality, it was state building through terror.
Exactly. And finally, on the international failure. The international community's failure to support Spanish democracy sent a clear message to fascist movements throughout Europe about the weakness of democratic resolve.
Oof. The consequences of inaction. Which leads us straight to the real-life applications. What can we actually take away from Graham's work today?
Well, first, understanding democratic decline. Her analysis is like a manual for spotting the warning signs. That extreme polarization, painting opponents as illegitimate, institutions failing to resolve conflict. We need to be vigilant about those things in our own societies.
Definitely. And the lesson about non-intervention.
It's timeless, isn't it? How democratic powers reacting passively or trying to appease aggressors can actually embolden authoritarian regimes and make conflicts worse. It's a pattern we still see, unfortunately.
And the power of historical narratives. How Franco controlled the story for so long really underscores why confronting difficult history, honestly, is so vital for a healthy democracy. You can't build a shared future on buried truth.
Absolutely not. So lesson Spain is still grappling with, and many other countries too.
So, reflecting on all this, what was the most surprising or impactful thing for you personally, from Graham's perspective?
For me, I think it was really grasping the depth of that internal Republican conflict. We tend to focus on Franco versus the Republic, the external fight. But realizing how deeply divided the Republican side was, the revolution versus the war effort dilemma, it makes you understand just how difficult their position was, even beyond the lack of international support. That internal split was just devastating for them.
Yeah, that's powerful. For me, it was the clarity she brings to understanding the nature of the violence, particularly the white terror. Seeing it not just as wartime excess, but as a deliberate strategic tool for building Franco's state. That changes how you understand the entire conflict and its aftermath, the next 40 years of dictatorship.
Right. It wasn't just random cruelty. It had a purpose.
And I guess the biggest takeaway is that these terrible conflicts aren't inevitable. They're not just fated by culture. They happen because of specific political failures, specific choices made by people. Graham's work is such a powerful reminder of that, and, well, how easily democracy can be lost.
A sobering but essential lesson.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.